Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
It is a very good afternoon. Well, it's a kind of good day today, isn't it? The weather is good. We're back up to about 16 or 17 degrees. Considering it's June, by the way, it should be a little bit warmer. So much for climate change and global warming. And another good news, of course, Eamon Ryan. Well, okay, maybe you might not think it's good news. You might like Eamon Ryan. He's gone. He won't be running for election again in the new year. And he's gone as leader of the Green Party. But the bad news, of course, is Roderick O'Gorman has stepped up to the plate and put his hand up for the job. I know a lot of you are not too fond of that, but however, maybe he will do a good job. But are the Green Party even relevant? We were going to do a topic today. Are the Green Party relevant in a modern society? But we figured there was no point because everybody would just say no, because all they do is tax everybody and come up with stories that tend not to be true most of the time. When you know what I mean? When it talks about global warming and all that kind of thing. Because look, you know, it's been a pretty bad June, hasn't it? I mean, it's kind of rained, it's been cold, it was 11 degrees the other day. It's supposed to be summer. You know, like, where's... Like, if global warming means the temperature's going to go up by 1 or 2 degrees, I say bring it on. You know what I mean? We could do a little bit of heat in this country. I was freezing yesterday. Anyway, what I want to talk about today is the British elections, but not so much the British elections. There's one particular aspect of it which they're arguing over, the Tories and Labour Party. And Keir Starmer said he has toyed with the idea of getting rid of the two-child benefit cap, whereas Rishi Sunak says absolutely not. It'll cost everybody £2,000 in taxpayers' money every single year. So he's not going to get it. So we don't have that here. But so many people have suggested it in the past. So the two-child benefit cap restricts child tax credits, universal credit, which is essentially the dole in Britain. It's called universal credit welfare, to the first two children. And it was brought in by the Conservative government back in 2017. And campaigners have long since said it should be abolished on the grounds that it would lift thousands of children out of poverty. Now, the senior Labour figures have been crystal clear in the past, you know, about lifting and abolishing it, whereas the Tory party say they want to keep it because it'll cost £2,000 per person to get rid of it, you know, because that's the loss to the economy. Now, Ireland has no such benefit cap when it comes to children and benefits, but in the past, there have been suggestions of limiting, say, child benefit to two children or welfare benefits to two children. There is an argument that the state has a duty to support families, but couples must also take responsibility to budget for their own children or the amount of children they specifically have, if particularly if they're unemployed. But the argument against the cap is that, you know, this at this particular moment in time, we need to increase the population. We need to support families. We need to support children because the Irish population is declining and is below the population replacement level. And we need to financially encourage people to have more children. But is it on you out of your pocket? In other words, if you're a taxpayer and you don't have kids, let's say, for example, is it fair that you're paying for somebody else's children? Now, we obviously, you know, we have a social responsibility, you know, to encourage society and encourage the welfare and the children in society. And we voted in a referendum going back about 7 years ago, you know, to allow the government to take responsibility for the children of the nation. It is in our constitution, etc., etc., etc. But do you really believe you should be paying tax for somebody else who might not even be working to have 10 kids? Is that your duty and your responsibility? Let me know what you think. Should there be a cap on the amount of children we pay, say, child benefit for, or the amount of kids we pay, you know, any kind of benefits in relation to welfare payments? Should there be a cap of two children? After that, kind of, you're on your own. You need to budget for that yourself. Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Should there be a benefit cap in Ireland? Now, let me go to our good friend, Saoirse, who hasn't been on with us in quite a while. Well, hasn't been available during the election for some reason. I don't know, maybe she abandoned me. I wonder, did she vote for me, actually? Saoirse, hi, how are you?
Niall, hi. I wasn't available when you were running, and there was one reason for that.
Why?
I felt uncomfortable aligning with a podcast whose host was running in politics.
Oh, right. Okay. Why was that? You thought it was an unfair advantage I had because I had a podcast?
I think that I don't want myself to get involved in politics.
Oh, right. Okay.
Simple as.
Okay. Did you vote?
Was I watch?
Did you?
I won't comment on that, but I watched your campaign. I watched from afar, and, you know, it was a campaign.
I did okay, didn't I? Give me some credit.
It was a campaign. That's all I can say.
Okay, Saoirse, getting back to the two-child benefit cap. Yeah. I mean, realistically, Saoirse, the argument is, why should I, as a taxpayer, be paying for somebody else's kids, you know, particularly when they're taking the pee? But then there's an argument that we need to encourage families. So which way are you going on this one?
This is a simple conversation, Niall, as most of your conversations are. And this is one about limits. And we don't have unlimited support. We should not have unlimited support. There has to be, as you yourself like to say in other areas, caps and limits and controls. And this is no different. We cannot have unlimited money going to families who are having unlimited children. It makes no sense. It would lead for a disordered and dysfunctional society. And also, the really important point here is that we know the more children you have does not mean the more money you spend. Children often share items, hand-me-downs. The last child is not costing what the first child is costing. So the idea that you would continue to hand out the same amount of money to each child is illogical, and it is...
But they are expensive, Saoirse. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you have children, right? But the thing is, they say statistically a child costs 10,000 per year, 180,000 up to the age of 18 on average, right? And you're right, you could use hand-me-downs. People don't really do that very much nowadays. Maybe they do, I don't know. I did with my three kids, you know, because they're all in and around the same age, a little bit older than each other. So yeah, you could do a few hand-me-downs, provided you had the same gender of child or whatever it was. But in real terms, you know, you do need money to have children. And we do need children, Saoirse, because we're now down to 1.7 children per family, per couple. That's not good enough. That's not going to sustain a population. And what's going to happen is, and I don't want this to come across as racist, we have a lot of people coming to Ireland from different cultures and backgrounds who have a lot more children than Indigenous Irish people have. And Ireland will become unrecognisable in about 50 years' time when we become a minority in our own country.
Okay, I don't agree with anything of what you just said there.
That's fine.
I don't know what you mean about being unrecognisable, because, in fact, those children, newsflash, will be Irish, and so they will be Irish just like you and I if they're born here and if they have a passport. So Ireland will, in fact, not be unrecognisable. It will be full of its citizens as any other country.
The culture will be our culture will be unrecognisable. Many people who are coming here have different cultures than we have. We're quite unique
culture,
in our culture.
Sorry, can I just say culture is not stagnant. Culture changes and evolves. And I, for one, am very happy that we don't have the culture we had in 1975 where a woman needed a man to sign for a mortgage. I, for one, am happy to see Ireland's culture evolve. Okay, so leaving all of that aside,
some of the cultures that come to Ireland, would be quite backwards in the way they think comparison to Ireland, for example. They wouldn't be as progressive. So some of those cultures that you refer to, by the way, would be worse than it was in 1970.
I have faith in our youth that our culture is going the right way.
Okay.
I don't think we're going backwards. I think there are certain people who are dragging us backwards, but they are not the foreigners. They are people who are telling us that our country will become unrecognizable. Now, as regards today's topic, as I said at the beginning, it's a simple question of limits. We don't have unlimited numbers. We need a structure put in place. We need, here's money for two children. Work it out. Work it out yourself. It's patronizing, in my opinion, to say that people from lower incomes can't figure that money out between themselves. Okay, they don't need unlimited support for 15 children They don't need it. It's silly.
Okay, okay, well, hang on.
And I'll just say, I just want to say, for once, I think the Brits have it right. And I do not say that lightly.
Okay, well, stay there, Saoirse. Let me just go to Morris. Morris, you've heard Saoirse's view. Two kids is plenty. Any more than that, you're on your own.
Yeah, Noel, how are you doing? I've been the youngest of 10 children.
Oh,
and
that's a lot, isn't it?
Five boys, five girls in my mother and father's family. I think all children in the state and in the eyes of God should be treated equally and fairly. So I wouldn't be putting limits on anything. But one of the things I would do, any child that leaves this country, the benefit stops. The benefit doesn't follow. I think that goes without saying.
But hold on. So your family had 10 kids. So your mother would have got children's allowance for 10 children. Now, currently at the moment, it's 140. It wasn't 140 at the time. But it's 140 per child. Jay, you'd be doing all right per month on 10 kids, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but come here in a minute. Was there child benefit around in 1943 when my twin sisters were born?
Probably
they were 81
not.
Now.
Probably not.
No, there you go. Yeah. And on all the years they worked here, they put the money back in. So anybody that gets something that they're entitled to and they're Irish and they're born in Ireland, fine. But this shite that's going on in the system at the moment, oh, I had my kids here, now I'm moving to another country. Oh, sure, we'll pay you. We'll give you the money to rear your kids. The money shouldn't leave the state.
That's a different argument, and I agree with you, by the way. I think most people would, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you move to Spain with your family, you shouldn't be getting child benefit in Ireland. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, but getting back to what Saoirse says, if you're on welfare, and you're not on welfare, it doesn't matter if you're getting child benefit or you're getting child tax credits or whatever it is, that it should be capped to two children. After that, you know, it's up to you. You're the one who had the kids. You pay for them. That's what she's saying.
Why would you cap it on two children if there's four in the family? So you're telling the other two you're not worthy of a payment. You're substandard. You're not as important as the first two.
It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do
That's
with
the way it comes across.
Worthy enough. Well, you have
you to treat equal.
Take your little sensitive head and take it out of the clouds. It has nothing to do with that. It is simply to do with management, managing a family. You do not need the same amount for each child. And also, can one of your researchers please go to Google and ask how many people, what is the average number of children we're having? Because
1.7.
Okay, so well, look, after that fantastic piece of research, now we know how much money we need to give out.
But that's
so why would
two,
you discriminate against children? Why would you discriminate against it if the money is there to improve on their lives and give them something? I remember my mother saving up money for 3 months' children's allowance when I came along after the older ones were out. Listen, let me finish. Don't interrupt me. We didn't miss you during the campaign on the Boylan show. What happened was she'd save up money for 3 months to buy us all shoes. Because children were hard on shoes in those times. So I remember those things.
Mark,
I remember cutting out cardboard.
You're living in the past.
No. It's okay to look back at the past.
There's no family. Sorry, it's not happening. It's silly. It's silly to bring rules forward when our population no longer reflects it.
Are you saying, Saoirse, are you saying there's no family currently in Ireland saving up money to buy shoes for their kids? Yes, there is.
There's no family
borrowing money off moneylenders.
Before you misquote me, I'm saying that there are almost no families having 10 children, and to have a rule that works for families of 10, for the majority that have 2, is illogical. There needs to be order, there needs to be limits, and our money needs to be spent in ways that actually improve society.
Morris, it would be a statistical fact, I'm pretty sure, without me even going and researching it, that the majority of people that have larger families are usually unemployed or working class. And middle class and upper class tend not to have as many children because obviously their parents may be both working or whatever it happens to be. And people who are unemployed tend to have more children because they rely on state benefits. So assertion aren't right.
We have families like the Kardashians now, which are totally booking that trend.
Oh, yeah, that's not even being the Kardashians. It's
They're worth billions anyway, and people want to live in their plastic world and look at them or let them get on with us. But I'll tell you one thing about ones that I'm so proud of, Niall. Yeah, all of my family members, none of us ended up on the dole. We all left Mammy's house, we all got jobs, and we all bought our own houses, and we raised their children, and we were never a burden on the state.
Children?
And it's something that I'm proud of.
How many children do all of you have each?
Every one of us have 3 or 4 each, and they're all older now. My youngest son is 27 years of age. But listen, I'll tell you one thing.
Can I ask you, Anne, would you be happy to think that all four of all of those children were getting child welfare.
You need the same amount
for all of those child benefits, whatever.
Exactly.
You think it's needed for each of them. You don't.
Of course. Why would you discriminate against children?
You don't pass on a book. You don't pass on a charger. You know, nothing like that.
We pay into the system and we benefit from it. We pay into the system and we benefit from it. Listen, I'm working the last 42 years in the job and I'm carrying three people on the dole for all those years. So don't tell me about hard work or what it is to do to sacrifice for this country. Noel, I've one thing to say before I go. Let me go, sorry. Noel, do you know I have a big craw about inheritance tax, yeah?
Yeah. I think it should be abolished, yeah.
My wife's friend's mother dropped dead suddenly. A very young woman dropped dead. She's an only child, this girl, right? And her mother was well off. Her husband left her a good few bob and investments and everything else. So the girl is coping with her two young children. Her mother drops dead. She's an only child. The state walks up and said, sorry for your loss. 100,000 inheritance tax. Thank you very much.
I know.
We're robbing the dead in this country. It's horrible.
I'm ashamed
to be Irish.
No, Morris, I'm with you 100%. If I was in government tomorrow and I was in the Department of Finance, the first thing I would do is abolish inheritance tax.
That's disgusting.
It is. Thanks, Morris. Thanks for that. Saoirse, stay there. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, Angela. Yeah. So you've listened to Saoirse there. Why should everybody else be responsible for your kids when you have more than two? Financially.
Well, that's not how I phrased it.
Can you just shut up for a minute, please? Just let somebody else talk.
I had forgotten the standard of communication on the show. Sure, I would shut up. Sure.
Good, thanks. I was thinking about this, you know, when it came up and I was saying, yeah, Kappa. Now, Niall, we all know my opinion on abortion, okay? I'm, you know, pro and that's fine. So, Dara, like, what happens when you do get those people who have kids? And, do you expect them all just to go for an abortion because the thing is capped, because it's capped?
So what you're saying there needs to be a bit of, if you were going to do it, you'd have to do a bit of forward planning on it.
Yeah, God, definitely. And I wouldn't do it where...
Well, then you do agree with it. You do agree with the idea. You just believe it shouldn't be just introduced tomorrow type of thing. It should be, they should say, well, from 2025 or from such and such a date.
No, I did. I was agreeing with it until that popped into my head. It's not as easy as that we're going to cap it on two kids because, you know, it's not fair.
People don't plan pregnancies sometimes, you know what I mean? People don't always plan pregnancies, yeah.
They don't plan pregnancies, and a lot of the time they might plan them, they don't happen.
But
a lot of the times it just happens. And I wouldn't force anybody into that kind of a situation.
So you believe, from a financial point of view, it could encourage people to have more abortions?
I think it could, which I wouldn't want. You know, do you know what I mean? I stand by anybody who, you know, has made the decision to have an abortion. But that's when the decision is yours and not that you're forced into it. Whereas I think this would force people into that.
Let me come back to Saoirse. That's a fair point, Saoirse. There was 9,000 abortions last year. You know, if people are forced by necessity, financial necessity, to have an abortion because they can't afford a child, because you're saying we should, you know, cap the benefits of two children, well, that's not a good thing for society, is it?
Am I on the Twilight Zone? Are we talking about abortion on this show?
I'm sorry that you're not really intelligent enough to understand the question that I've just asked you. I can rephrase it if you like.
That Niall Boylan is having a conversation with somebody who wants to make sure people still have the right to have an abortion.
That's not what she's saying. Listen.
You know what? I am misrepresenting and I learned from the best. Now, here's the thing. Okay, I don't think if you look into the reasons people are having abortion, yes, financial issues are one, but not the amount you're getting from this child support. And also, can I just draw your attention to the fact there are other supports? If a child is in poverty, if a child cannot get the books for school, if a child cannot get clothes, there other support?
Why, Saoirse, I don't know. Are you well up on Irish history? Do you understand the Magdalen Laundries, the mother and baby homes, all that? You do understand why they existed, don't you? Because young women got pregnant and couldn't afford to have their children, and we didn't support children.
I understand. Yeah. The words that she said there that's relevant, which is history, and as far as I know, there's no such
thing. But what I'm saying is, you don't want to go back there again, do you?
The only Can I say something to Saoirse there?
Saoirse,
go ahead.
What I'm going to say to you is, right? I have said that if you cap this, okay, that there are some women out there who would be forced into having a termination. Now, I don't care if it's one or 1,000. I don't want anybody forced into that situation or forced into that choice. And I'm telling you, a couple out there who have 2 children, and let's say turn around and get pregnant again, and may have twins or may have triplets, you're forcing You're forcing a very stable family into poverty and into having to go and look. No, I'm not. Saoirse, I'm not finished. That you are forcing them into.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of Black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for Black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for president.
Poverty, you're forcing them into having to go look for food, look for clothes, look for support. If they don't get the support from the government.
Okay, let her respond.
Can I respond? Okay,
yeah, loads of people are waiting here. Go on.
Nobody on this show can ever seem to think clearly and compartmentalize.
Except for you.
Okay, except for me, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I'll explain it.
Because you're so far above the rest of us.
Removing this support is not. Can I finish this? Because I'm in a rush today, okay, Niall? And congratulations on your campaign. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that the show is now not a political wing of your campaign, okay? So here we are, and I'll explain why I totally reject what Angela is saying. I completely, completely reject it. Because if you care about women not affording, not being able to afford a child and considering abortion, okay? Bring in child care they can afford. Forget about this measly child support. Rearrange the entire structure of the society. Because this one support needs to be limited, okay, for logical, practical reasons. You are bringing in a whole host of emotional reasons to keep this one, and I will say, poxy support, where in fact you should put your energy into bringing in child care so families can put their children into child care.
I would agree with that aspect, and that's probably the first intelligent thing you've said since you came on.
I do agree with that. That is the financial reason people are considering abortion. This is nonsense that you're talking about here.
No, it's not.
Well, hang on, both of you. Derrianne, sorry, you've been waiting ages. Derrianne, say there, Angela.
You're grand. I'll tell you what I have a problem with. I have a problem with the fact that the Minister Humphreys decided to up the payment on the 1st of May to 18 years. When I reared my 2 kids, was working, I didn't get child support from the ex. I struggled, I borrowed, I begged, I did everything, but I managed. And I think when you get something too freely, you won't make an effort.
But I think she only increased it. I mean, that's standard across Europe. She increased it to 18, provided you're still in full-time education.
Well, that's fine. But my point would be that my children were both, I think my daughter was 14 and she had a shop job and she had her own little bit of pocket money and was able to buy a few bits for herself. And my son did the same. So, you know, and they're the better of it today because they both have their own homes and their own jobs.
But back to the original question. So in England, they had this 2-child cap benefit system, right? So after 2 children, you're kind of on your own. Is that the way it should be?
But that, Well, I think it should, and that's up to 16. And I remember telling you this before, but I was in a chemist one Saturday morning, and this young girl came in her pajamas, and well, you know, she was about
in her pajamas. That says it all. Yeah, go on. Yeah.
I love that. No, and she shouted over us all and said, "How much is the pill?" And when you're once there, or the lady said whatever, and she says, "Oh, I'll have it."
Yeah.
Meaning to have the child instead.
Oh, right. You it know, was cheaper than paying for the pill, was it? Right.
Yeah, the morning after pill. You know, and I think there's an awful lot of... We're divided as a society. Look, I see my daughter and her fiancé. And they're... Sorry, Saoirse, please. You've been on for ages there. I see them. They work hard.
I'm not sure where the conversation has devolved to.
Oh, Saoirse, please.
She's gone.
Oh, my God.
She's gone.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, Angela and Derianne, with the greatest respect, she's insufferable, isn't she?
I mean,
can you imagine living with that? I mean,
no,
Jesus.
No, definitely not.
No.
God, I could imagine living with her anyway, because this is the way she says. Does anyone want a cup of tea? Does anyone want to go?
Oh,
I
say she was born with a silver spoon up her arse. Anyway, sorry. Derianne.
Yeah,
okay, so there's two.
Having said all that,
yeah.
So England, it's only up to 16. You see, our ministers have to bring us up to 18. Look, the young.
No, it's not. No, no. Well, child benefit in the UK is up to 19, actually. It's actually higher than that.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah,
I thought it was 19.
No, it's 19. 19. If you're in college and you're 19, maybe, you still get it.
Okay, fair enough. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
But what I do object to is that the social protection seem to have all this money, and pensioners are struggling, that have worked all their lives, lost their homes, and all they're left with, and I'm talking about the people that are still out there homeless, and it's an insult. And I think the older people, we are being discriminated against. And to the point where I object to a local credit union called the Next Generations, forget what it is, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in your face.
Okay, but getting back to the original question. So are you saying to me that you agree that after two children, look, you need to budget yourself. You know, you're on your own. I'm not going to pay for it as a taxpayer anymore.
I do. If I could do that, under stress, depression, everything, people can do it. But I do agree with what Angela is saying there, having listened to her. So, you know, you're caught on this one.
Okay.
But what Angela's saying, it's not fair to put people in a position either.
Well, Angela doesn't agree with you. Angela thinks it should be paid to everybody because she believes that if you put people under pressure,
what happens is
they'll be forced to have an abortion. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. She's after bringing up a point that would rattle my opinion. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
And that's
that
what
she
I'm
did
saying,
do that.
I didn't even think, I honestly didn't even think about it until I was sitting listening, and next I went, hold on a second. What are you going to do with people who accidentally have, accidentally get pregnant?
And have the third child,
yeah. By God, the numbers will go up. And I wouldn't force anyone. I had determination. I'm very vocal about that. That was my decision. And I wasn't forced into it. But I wouldn't like anyone be forced into it.
For financial reasons, as people did going back 30, 40 years ago in this country. As I say there, and Derianne, save me, let me just bring Morris in as well.
Sure.
Morris, hi. Hi, Morris, are you there? Oh, Jesus, there's a Barney going on in Morris's house. Morris.
Morris.
There's a row going on in Morris's house. Morris, are you there? Oh,
here he comes.
All right, he's on his way to the phone now. Yeah, I can hear him. I can hear him wandering over to the phone. Morris?
Niall, can I ask something?
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
40 years ago, you know, we didn't have the choice of contraception. And that was a huge thing in this country. In fact, it was in England. You know, I love those sort of half-true stories about the women who lived through the war. And like every time they had sex, they got pregnant. Look, it's horrendous. So I'd love to know is, how did the prods have two, you know, they say good God family, only two children. Did they just only have sex twice and then never have it with their wives again?
Well, I think the main reason Ireland was having so many children is we didn't have contraception in this country.
Exactly.
Do
you remember Gay Byrne with the Late Show?
Showing you how to use a condom.
That was hilarious.
Let me go to Lorenzo. Lorenzo, hi. Lorenzo, how are you?
Hi, Nan, how are you?
Good, Lorenzo. What about the idea of capping child benefit of two children? Or capping benefits of two children in general?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Well, I think it's fine if you have it, but I think there would be no problem in terms of driving people away or driving people into that. But I mean, if the idea is to push to have bigger families, I don't see the neither the need or how you're going to maintain it, like. Because, I mean, even a child benefit is not paying for everything.
No. It goes toward, well, it does help. It does help. 140 quid a month is all right. It helps.
Well, it's basically paying you probably 1 week of crush or preschool. So how are you going to do the other 3 weeks?
Yeah, I understand. But according to the UK, right, Rishi Sunak has said he's not going to get rid of it because if he does, he'll have to make up that €2,000 per family somewhere else, i.e. in taxes, right? Because that's what it'll cost if you were to give it to everybody for every child. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand the benefit of it because I understand what it does is encourages people to have more children, which is really what we need at the moment. We need people to have more children. The population of Europe is on the decline, huge decline at the moment. And I've just been in my ear that I was just told it's actually not 1.7, it's now 1.5 in Ireland, which is really low. The population level in Ireland is now 1.5. It should be 2.1 as far as I know for replacement level.
Okay.
Well, if you see, I mean, the decrease of birth rate is usually, I mean, if you see the countries that have very low birth rate is because there is a high welfare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, while on the opposite, if you see the countries that have a high birth rate is because there is a poor or low welfare. I mean, Japan has very low birth rate.
Well, Japan are in real trouble. I think Japan are at 1.3 now at this stage.
It's one of the lowest, I think.
Yeah, they're just not having sex anymore in Japan for some reason. I don't know why.
It's because as soon as you drive or you make policies where women can go and do career, they choose career over family. Or they choose to have career first and do family after. While if there is no opportunity, women have to stay home and do kids. So if they stay home with kids, you want more kids.
But we're in a serious situation, Lorenzo. And this is probably the worst thing we could possibly do, which is introduce a benefit cap. And by the way, I'm not saying they are, but there has been suggestions in the past that we should do it. And I know the UK are talking about it at the moment because they currently have it and they want to abolish it. But there couldn't be a worse time to do it because realistically, we're in real trouble. Because if we continue to do what we're doing right now, and I mentioned this at the start of the show, but Saoirse didn't appreciate it, and we continue to have other cultures coming to Ireland who have more children than Indigenous Irish people, well, then we'll know in exactly in 50 years' time we're going to be a minority in our own country, the Indigenous Irish, which, by the way, some people are okay with that. I'm not. I'm not okay with that. I want Ireland to keep its identity.
Well, it's good, probably, and bad in the same time in terms of, I mean, the question is why somebody else would have more kids than Irish.
Because it's cultural.
It's cultural, yeah.
Well, even Irish culture is to have kids, like.
Well, not anymore, it's not. It used to be.
Well, you still have families with 2, 3, 4 kids, 4, 5, 6. I mean, in Italy, you have 1, maximum 2, like. You know, it's different.
Statistically, last year, I thought it was 1.7, but I've been told my year it's 1.5. 1.5 children per family.
Yeah, but I mean, for example, if you see probably cultural is, from a cultural point of view, is because it might be very racist to say, but if you go with the Muslim idea is the women stay home, doesn't work. Is the men that work.
Yeah, they have more, and they have more children. So
that's why probably they have more kids in terms of because they tend to force the woman to stay home. But when they come in a country where women can work, probably they will work.
What you're telling me is there's a multifaceted amount of reasons as to why we're seeing the decline in population of the indigenous Irish people.
No.
Yeah, sorry, Angela.
Well, I think in general, a decrease of birth rate is, I mean, in this moment, from a historical point of view, you have, I mean, economic crisis, house crisis, energy crisis. How many crises can you count? I mean, the world is.
Yeah, I mean, you are right. In Ireland, the biggest problem is, women have gone to work and choosing careers over having children. You've also got, houses are unaffordable, so they can only afford apartments, so they're not having enough children because they've nowhere for them to live. There are loads of reasons why we're not having big families anymore. So we need to correct all those reasons. Sorry, Angela, you want to say something?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to throw the cat amongst pigeons here. And I think it's also a bit of a class thing. You know, that you don't see more middle class and upper class having kids. It's the lower class.
Oh, of course,
kids.
Yeah.
You know, I was going, oh, Jesus, I'm going to be shocked.
The reason for that primarily is because... you get benefits, obviously. But apart from that, it's because in those situations, in a lot of cases, the mother would be at home.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're living, Mary and, Peter, who live in Dalkey, are probably both professionals and working and don't have time to be having kids.
Yeah, they don't. And they kind of say, right, we'll have two and that's it.
Yeah.
We'll have a gentleman's family. What do they
call it? And we get a nanny in to look after them.
And they get an au pair in or a nanny in or a childcare in or something like that. Whereas when it seems to be, and come here, listen, we're all not thick on this. It's like, you have a woman who has two kids, two bedroomed house, wants a bigger house and a bigger house and a bigger house. So she keeps having kids.
Four kids with three different fathers, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And none of those fathers are paying for them. So,
but that's neither here nor there, right? The point is that when you average it all out, we're still not having enough children. It doesn't matter whether Mary and Finglas or whatever it is having five kids and Saoirse is only having one out in Dalkey somewhere. It's kind of all irrelevant. The point is, on average, we're still only having, as Irish people, we're still only having 1.5 kids each. That's not enough.
No, and I agree. I agree with you on one thing as well. We are very close to losing our culture, not traditions. I think there's a big difference in what Saoirse was saying there.
You're a racist, that's the problem.
Yeah, I don't care. Do you know what, Niall? I have gone beyond if somebody wants to call me a racist. I really have, because I'm sick of it, and it's just stupid now. You can't say anything. And suddenly, it's wrong. And like poor Cat Dealey yesterday, just slightly going off the topic for one quick thing. So Cat Dealey had to come on this morning and apologise because she was dancing. And in a joke, she turned around and said, I'm having a seizure. And she had to go on and apologise.
Apologise for what?
You can't say anything now.
For what happened? For saying she was having a seizure?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
She was joking. It was on yesterday, and she'd come on this morning and apologise to everyone
for the foundation of seizures were given out or something, were they? People have seizures, so what? I mean, it's unfortunate.
Because she was dancing, and your man turned around and said, she said, I'm just having a seizure, because the way she was messing.
So I turned around yesterday to somebody because we couldn't find something, and I said, are you blind? Does that mean I have to apologise to people who are blind?
Yeah.
Or somebody doesn't hear you, and you go, what's wrong with you, are you deaf? Does that mean you have to apologise to people who are deaf? That's ridiculous. Carry on.
So that's why I'm saying, I don't give a continental poo if I turn around and say we are losing our culture because of the influx of people.
No, we are.
Call me. I don't care what.
But there's two ways of looking at that. I don't know. Look, I'm saying this listening while Lorenzo's on the air, who's Italian, and I have no problem with Lorenzo being Italian, by the way. But, here's the thing now, and correct me if I'm wrong. So I was out canvassing during the campaign, right? And we decided one day we were in town, we'd canvass at the Dart, stops and stuff like that, in Henry Street, in around Henry Street and around there, Tapas Street and all around there. I walked down Henry Street with a couple of people giving out the leaflets. And I said, what I said to them was genuine. I said, look, there's no point in handing them to tourists. It's a waste of time. They're not going to vote anyway. So it's no point. So I said, you know, keep an eye out for, obviously, you know, the Dubs, you know.
Yeah. Do you think Look for the Irish.
Do you think we could find the Dubs on Henry Street?
It was actually difficult.
Now, there was part of me that felt really sad about that. But there was another part of me that thought, well, this is a vibrant young city. And that's okay, too. And I don't know how I should feel about that. Lorenzo, am I wrong to feel sad about the fact that I can't find an Irish person on Henry Street?
Probably not. I saw it as well that, if you walk in Cork, it's more probably to hear Italians or Spanish than Irish talking.
Well, we're used to the Italians. Italians have been here for 40 years. We're used to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Italians are Irish at this stage.
We have
Italian restaurants. We love the pasta.
Yeah, and you'd never get a good burger and chips if it wasn't for the Italians. By the way, here's an interesting fact, and Lorenzo will back me up on this. So the Italians came to Ireland 40 years ago, right? And were famous for what? Yeah. Opening chippers, right? But here's the thing. Yeah. There was no chippers in Italy. So they were coming over here and opening them.
No. Only here.
That's
they
make the best burger and chip ever.
Yeah. Well, stay there for a second. Thank you, Derrianne. Let me just go to Jessica as well. Getting back to the topic. Jessica, should we cut the benefits to two children?
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of Black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for Black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like it's a catch-22.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a double-edged sword.
Right.
I want to say cut it, but then again, when people hear the word benefits, then my voice, they immediately think, oh, she's going to say cut it because she's a fucking dope and she knows nothing.
Yeah, but if you and your other half decide to have a load of kids, I'm delighted for you, right? But why should I, as a taxpayer, be funding any more than two of them? That's the argument, isn't it?
That's how I feel about the child's benefit in Ireland. If you decide to have kids, they are your financial responsibility. Why should money be taken out of my pocket into the government's pocket so that they can give it to, like...
Well, to some degree, that's how... No. Well, we have a civic responsibility, so I don't mind a certain amount because those kids will grow up to pay taxes and pay your pension.
You get it back, Jessica. A pension, I don't mind putting my taxes into it. But like I said...
No, you're missing the point. Let me give you this.
It doesn't have to come out of my money.
Okay, but here's the civic responsibility. So you're paying tax. Yeah. That tax then goes to the child benefit for Mary down the road who has two kids, right? Okay? Mary's kids grow up to be working adults. When you're 65 and you get a state pension, her kids are paying tax to pay your pension. So what I'm saying is, it does come back to you again.
The idea of it, I just don't agree with. And I'm allowed to say that. I just don't agree with the idea of it. Like I said, I feel like if you want to have kids, they are your financial responsibility. You pay for them out of your own pocket. Because we know, you know yourselves, now there are people out there who rely on the state for benefits of all kinds. They use it like a career. And as Angela said, and I'll even say it myself, this is how I phrase it, they pop them out like TikTok.
Like Kit Kats.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah, they're green today. Oh my God, you're
Tic Tacs. Sorry, I thought you said Kit Kats. Right.
Popping them out like
Tic Tacs.
They need to take a break from kids, yeah.
but that's it, exactly. It seems to be, you know, like that now people in a certain class aren't feel that like a two-bedroomed house isn't good enough for them. They want the big house. Like, when you look back, I know my mum was one of eight, and they lived in a two-up, two-down. Do you know what I mean? Whereas now it's like, oh, well...
Yeah, what's the story there? Because, when I was living in Edenmore when I was a kid, there were families that had 10 kids. There was one family actually had 17 kids and they lived in a three bedroom house. Why can't people, why can't people, you know, with four or five kids live in three bedroom houses anymore? What, why do they all need a bedroom each? We shared bedroom. My brother and me were in the same bedroom.
I'm the same. I have a friend who is one of 13 and they lived in a house where there was only three bedrooms.
Right.
So as the old phrase goes, they want to live the life champagne on lemonade money.
Yeah. No, I say champagne on my waddy money.
Okay, so I'm still lost here. So Jessica, either yes or no, after two kids, should they get money? No, you're saying.
After three. Point after that, no. They come out of your own pocket. Because I remember hearing a story, I think she had about, I think it was, Angela knows the story I'm on about. It was six kids going on seven. I did the math. That's under an extra grand going into that family's pocket.
Oh, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I know somebody who has 10 kids. That's 1,400 quid a month just on child benefit alone.
But you'd have to ask yourself, like, are they having the kids because they genuinely want to help them and they love them? Or are they getting it just so they can get more money into their pocket? You have to, like, that's where I'd be asking myself, like, do you really want to have all the kids and live, love them all? Or is it because you see it as, oh, grand, I can get an extra few quid?
A bigger house.
Or a bigger house.
Is the big thing. With a trampoline in the back.
No, because there are people like that who will find any sort of way to get to be able to be entitled to.
No, I know there are people.
Use it like a career.
I know there are people having children to get themselves higher up the housing list. I'm well aware of that. Or to get a bigger house or whatever it happens to be. Stay there. Let me just go to Morris. Maybe he's back now. Morris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Oh, we did go to you the last time, but you weren't available. Right. You were wandering around the house in the background somewhere.
Yeah, in my opinion would be slightly different. I believe in relation to, our benefits should only be going to native Irish people. Like, we should be designing our welfare system that, like, if you look at Saudi Arabia, for instance, they give oil checks to their citizens. They don't give it to people from Pakistan who come there to work. As soon as they're finished working, they go back to Pakistan. They don't get citizenship at the end of their...
How would you work that out? Because here's the thing, because that just sounds like discrimination. Because if somebody's, say, let's say, give me an example, right? Let's say somebody is from Pakistan and they're living in Dublin and they're working and paying tax... How could you turn around and say, well, we're going to give it to somebody else who's just because they're Irish, but we're not giving it to you, even though you pay exactly the same amount of tax?
He's come to Dublin to work. He didn't come to Dublin to set up a family. It's not we're giving him a visa for.
Well, some people do come here to set up family. They do come here to live for the rest of their lives, for a better life.
And what happens if they come over, Morris, and they marry an Irish person?
Bigamy.
What happens then, Morris? What do you do then? How do you work that one out?
Well, I'd say more than likely you'd probably do it percentages-wise. Like, for instance, I did a DNA test, for instance, and it said that I'm 91% Irish, 6% Scottish, 3% Welsh.
So this comes down to the real question then. What makes somebody Irish? Not their passport, no?
Well, the situation in the UK, for instance, now being British means just being nice to people.
I'm asking you. Define what it means to be Irish.
Having an Irish heritage, at least.
A grandfather or a great grandfather, or how far back do you go? I'm just curious.
At the moment, you can get an Irish passport by having one grandparent.
Yeah.
So, like, because that's during the 1990s, we had...
You don't even have to have that. You can live here for 6 years and work here for 6 years and get an Irish passport.
But Niall, why are all these people coming over to Ireland? Because, you know, we're giving everyone everything. You don't see, like, in Nigeria, for instance, look at the rules.
But you just said you weren't 100% Irish yourself. You're 2% or
probably one of the highest percentages that you'll find. The only fellas that would have higher rates.
I'm just saying that... It sounds like, you know, if somebody's coming here, I'm not talking about refugees or anything like that here. If somebody comes here and they're working and they're paying tax and they've set up family and they're here 10 years, let's say, right? And they have a home, they've paid for themselves a mortgage and everything else. You're telling me that they shouldn't get benefits, but somebody just because their granddad was Irish should? That doesn't make any sense, Mars.
Well, At the end of the day, what do we want Ireland? Like, what is Ireland? I want, like, Ireland has changed completely from 20
years. I understand that, and I'd like to keep Irish heritage, and I'd like to keep our identity. Yeah. But you also have to be fair to people, too.
What do you mean?
Well, then what about all the... There's American people or Irish people living in America. Should they be all cut off benefits? Because they're not actually Americans. There's Irish people living in America working away. Should they be all cut off?
I don't care what the Americans do. I'm just saying in relation to our own country. People in Pakistan, they don't want... Like if we treated Pakistanis the same way they treat, let's say, Christians in Pakistan...
This is not Pakistan. Let me give you an example. I just want to delve further into this, Anders, and then I'll let you come in. So, Boris, let's say there's a lad living here for 5 years and he's married with two kids and he's from Pakistan and he's bought his own house and he has a mortgage, right? And let's say he's working in a company and he loses his job for 3 months, but he's actively looking for employment and he's been here 10 years working away and paying tax. Should he get the dole?
I believe that he shouldn't be entitled to the dole for periods up to 20 years.
Oh my God. He's paying tax. Why wouldn't he be entitled to the dole?
Like, the dole is only for people who are Irish people or people from the UK because we have a relationship.
Well, then I'll tell you what, Morris. What you're suggesting to me is that the only people living in this country and who should benefit from this country are people who have lineage in this country. If that's the case, our economy would collapse.
What are you encouraging? What you're encouraging? Like, if that's the case, well, how come all the Irish people aren't leaving America? When we went to America, we weren't getting a free house. We weren't getting social.
I never mentioned free houses. What I'm saying, I gave you an example of somebody who's working here and bought their own house. Just to be clear,
social welfare or social housing. They should be entitled to social housing.
If somebody is working,
social housing.
I mean, I don't know, Morris, whether, you know, when I was campaigning, whether you were listening to what I was saying. I don't agree with uncontrolled immigration. I don't agree with illegal immigration. I don't agree with people coming here, you know, just as economic migrants. I don't agree with any of that. But I do agree that people are entitled to come here under the visa program and are entitled to live here and entitled to work and pay tax. And when they do all of those things and they're here for a certain period of time, they should be entitled to any benefits that any Irish person is entitled to. I don't see why not.
Can I ask him a question?
Oil checks in Saudi Arabia.
We're not living in Saudi Arabia and we don't have oil here. So, yeah.
Morris, can I ask you a question? Adeleke, the runner who won for Ireland, is she entitled to run for Ireland?
Well, she has an Irish passport, so I think that's the minimum requirements to represent Ireland, as far as I know. But you were talking about heritage and everything.
You were saying, we asked what makes you Irish, and you said heritage. And she doesn't have Irish heritage. Her parents are Nigerian. She ran for Ireland, did us damn bloody proud she did. But you're saying that technically she shouldn't because she's no Irish heritage.
Hopefully she doesn't lose her job.
Well, I don't care if she runs for Ireland or she doesn't run for Ireland. But like what you're asking me or what Niall's asked me is she Irish or what's the definition of Irish? Like,
is she Irish?
Irish to me is when I talk about ethnicity. Like, am I Native American? Are you Native American? No, like, you know what I mean? She was born in Ireland, so she's Irish. I'm not talking.
Yeah, but most countries in the world, Morris, almost all countries in the world, actually, would have a percentage of people who are not native to the country, but might hold a passport because they've been living there for so long. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but what you're doing is you're stripping people of their identity.
No, you're not. You can't have a country exclusive just for people who happen to have heritage there. There's no country in the world has that. I don't think so, anyway.
No?
I have friends who are Boers from South Africa, and they're constantly told by Africans there that they shouldn't be there. They're not South African. So the whole idea of a rainbow nation.
Where do you think the first Irish people came from?
Scotland.
They obviously migrated over 8,000
years. Yeah. What color was their skin? What colour was their skin?
It was some sort of a beige kind of...
No, it was black. No, they were black.
A beige?
But it's irrelevant. nice.
Well, what I'm saying is you're bringing Irishness down to how long your lineage is. That's not, Morris, you can't do that. You know, I disagree with illegal immigration. I disagree with an open border system. I agree with controlled migration. But you can't turn around and say that if somebody is living here, working here, legally, paying tax, paying their way, that if by whatever reason, you know, they happen to lose their job for 2 weeks, they shouldn't be entitled to benefits of the dole after paying tax for 20 years. That's rubbish.
When I'm saying after 20 years, then maybe they can after 20 years.
Maybe. So we'll give you a chance. We'll see.
What I'm saying now is if I'm given a chance to give my opinion is, you know, other countries are allowed to design their systems where they encourage people who are just here to work, and that's fine. Look at Israel, for instance. They give 7-year visas, and it isn't a stepping stone to citizenship.
And I agree with that.
Yet I don't see... But
the same in America. You get an 18-month work visa and then you have to renew it or whatever it is. I agree with all of that. And that's the way. And by the way, we have a system like that. We just don't enforce it properly. So I agree with all of that.
It sounds like you don't. Like, they're allowing people over on a visa to work. They're not telling them you can bring your wife and your 10 kids and your mother and your grandparents.
Hang on. I don't agree with those kind of family reunification laws to the extent are extending them the way they have. Morris, getting back to the original topic. If somebody has more than 3 children or more than 2 children, so what you're saying to me is if they're Irish, it's all right. But if they're not Irish, well, then they shouldn't get any more money.
Well, like, look at the people, look at the UK. You have people demanding Sharia law and they're demanding...
Okay, I'm not talking about that today. I don't agree with Sharia law, by the way.
If you have too many people who are not from this country, who don't see themselves as a part of this country, then they start demanding that we should implement the stuff where of the country...
I don't agree. Now, Ireland is culturally Irish, and if somebody tries to bring in Sharia law, I'd be the first person to object to it.
So, now, how do you counteract that?
Well, I would make it illegal. And by the way, Sharia law and Sharia law courts are illegal.
Well, if they have the numbers, and the Islamic Council of Ireland have it on their website, if you want to look it up,
We're wandering into a million topics here, you know, Morris. And, you know, I don't agree with Sharia law. And I don't believe that Ireland, you know, should be governed by...
British Muslims believe in it.
If that happens or that starts to happen, we'll talk about that then. You know what I mean? But it's not a thing.
What about Sweden, though?
Okay.
Sweden.
Okay, Morris, now we're going into another topic. Can we just stick to what we're talking about, which is child benefit? Stay there, Morris. Stay there for a second. Let me just go to Fiona. Fiona, hi.
Hi, Fiona. Or hi, Niall. How are you? I just want to raise a quick query. So, just in relation to our child benefit with people who are sole carers, like a single mother, a single father.
Yeah.
In Ireland, the current system. is you're rewarded if you don't work, and you're not rewarded if you work full time.
Yeah.
If you work. So I work 5 days a week. I had to pay mortgage, car loan, creche fees, all on one wage, which is under 45,000. I don't get child benefit, or I don't get child maintenance, but they don't take into account any of your outgoings. They just want to know if you're paying a pension and what your net salary is.
Yeah.
So, like, none of that is taken into account. And but after my child was born, I lost my job. So I was on PUP. And through the grapevine, I heard through somebody, she said, oh, I lost my job too. I'm on PUP and lone parent. So when I contacted social welfare, I said, how come I wasn't given both? I was just told you can only have one. And they said, things have changed since then. We'll look at your file again. And they backdated me. So they obviously made a mistake or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was getting PUP and lone parents. And to be honest, that was the best time in my life.
You were financially better off. So much
financially better off. And they were giving me 4 hours a day free for childcare. And I couldn't understand this. I'm sitting on my backside doing absolutely nothing, but then I'm getting 4 hours free to put my child into care when I can care for the child myself free.
Yeah.
I just thought it was just a waste of taxpayers' money.
Somebody told me this recently. There, they know a girl who has 3 kids. She's unemployed, but she operates a nail bar out of her house, right, doing people's nails out of her house.
Yeah.
And the state pay for her childcare for her 3 kids for half a day every day.
Yeah.
And I'm going, that's crazy. Because there are people out there who, and she's not even paying tax on the nail bar. It's all tax-free, obviously, cash, you know. So I'm going, because nobody's, she's not meant to be working. But I'm saying, like, there are people out there like yourself who want to work, who want to go out and get a job, but there's no encouragement for you to do it. You're far better off financially pretending that you're unemployed.
Exactly. And then it leaves a vicious cycle then for the upbringing of their children as well. So these mothers who financially are better off not working and sitting on their backside doing nothing, getting the HAP, for whatever reason, some obviously can't work, and I understand that, but others are financially better not working.
Yeah.
So that's leaving,
so that's
that
setting a good example, yeah, for the kids. Yeah.
No, to the children, exactly. Where they should be rewarding people. I'm not saying that they should be giving us, like, you know, a huge amount of benefits, but when you have outgoings like a mortgage, creche and a car to get you from A to B to work where there's no public transport, they should be taken into account as the means tests, but they're not.
Yeah.
So
no,
my wages
so.
Are gone by
well,
week.
No, I've been
nothing.
Saying, Fiona, for years, I've been saying that we don't encourage people to work in this country, particularly people who are working class. I'm not talking about, you know, upper middle class. They can make lots of money if they want. But when people are kind of, you know, on, you know, low wages, you know, minimum to, you know, almost minimum wage, there is no encouragement to actually stay working. You're better off. You're financially better off giving up your job. Because you get more money.
Totally.
Yeah, because you get HAP scheme, you get all sorts of things. So the benefits out. Because I had a guy in the air here go back a good while ago, and I think he had six kids or something like that, and he worked it out. He was a drive truck driver or something like that, whatever it was. He worked it out that he would be 50 quid better off if he gave up his job. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What sort of system is that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I know, it just doesn't make sense, and nobody wants to know. I did like email TDs about this and the One Family charity group, and no, nothing was ever raised. So I don't think the government really wants to do that, but in long term it would actually save them a fortune, because it would encourage people to save, to buy mortgages, or, you know, whatever kind of agreements there is on shared ownership or something like that, and take them off the HAP. They would save a fortune on HAP and other benefits like that, and they would encourage people to contribute back into society, but they just don't seem to look at that at all.
Yeah, like we spend 2.1 billion on child benefits in this country every year, right? Now, don't get me wrong, I don't consider that to be a waste of money, because I think children are vital, because we need children, because we need adults to work in the country in 20 years' time. But how do we encourage people to have children if we're going to cap a system? Now, I know in the UK they have it capped. It's been suggested here a few times, you know, that we should cap it at two children. I think there's more to it than just capping a system. I think we have to encourage people to have children. I think that's more important at the moment. We're not encouraging.
Yeah.
Like for you, for example, you know, if you want to have more children or whatever, it just makes it more difficult for you to work. You know what I mean? You just can't, because it's just childcare costs are so high. Everything is so high. So there's no encouragement for families in this country anymore. It just isn't. Like if you're a stay-at-home mum, for example, there's like a shame on you at the moment. And I think stay-at-home mums are brilliant, by the way, if that's what they want to do, right? Fair play to them. But you should be encouraged if you're in a couple, a unit, that your husband or your partner can take your tax, your tax free allowance and use it, whereas you can't.
Yeah.
Like all that kind of stuff needs to all change to encourage people to have children, to have more children, or to have nice families. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I just think it's wrong. They should be helping people who need help, but when they think that you work full time, it's like you've ticked the box, you work, you're able to support yourself, and that's actually not the case, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because if you're a single mum and you're not working, you get the benefits of the state. But once you've a ring on your finger, or you have a boyfriend or whatever it is, you don't get those benefits anymore. You know, you're treated differently.
Yeah,
and I think that's
not
so wrong.
To me, I'm totally single. I live on my own with my child. So I'm
so you're punished. You're punished for that, by the way, financially. You're punished.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah, exactly. And it's wrong to say you're better off on benefits than you are working. That shouldn't be the case in Ireland, you know?
I don't know where Morris was going, by the way, by saying it should only be for the Indigenous Irish. Well, I mean, the people are working here. I understand where you go with the immigration problem and everything else. But, I mean, listen, Fiona, thank you for joining us, and I appreciate you raising that issue.
No problem. Thanks very
bye-bye.
Much. Bye-bye. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Let me just go. Jason, hi. How are you, Jason?
Good afternoon. Do I call you sir now, or His Royal Highness?
I suppose you could call me for a while you could still call me candidate if you want. I don't know.
You know what I mean? I tell you one thing, Noel. I am proud of you, pal. You put the cat amongst them pigeons, boy. I've never seen a government, the mainstream media, and a second paper work shit themselves as much. Honestly, but you've really had them on the ropes there, pal. But like I always said to you, Noel, they have it sewn up. The next election's going to be the same. Unfortunately, the transfers, the way they walk off to each other, We have to break the system to break them, unfortunately.
Very difficult to break a system, and I explained this yesterday to the Irish Independent when I was talking to them. When you have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who are essentially political machines, you know, with hundreds of people working for them, and there was only five of us, you know what I mean? So.
You couldn't come across the East Link Bridge. Did you see the East Link Bridge for posters?
Oh, I know, Barry Andrews everywhere,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God, man, I dreaded sitting in fucking traffic on that bridge.
I'd say they probably spent about, I'm guessing, $250,000 on Barry Andrews' campaign.
Easily. I don't know who the private owners are.
Yeah. Anyway, they spent 250,000, we spent 250 quid. Okay, so Jason, getting back to, you know, whether we should or shouldn't, you know, cap it at two children, you'd be in right trouble. But go on, yeah.
Well, Niall, here's what for you. Then people who don't have kids should pay double the tax because we're going to have to look after them when they get older. I mean, there's me, okay? You know I have a busload of them. Four of mine are already paying taxes into the system. One's paying a lot of tax because she's a high-paying job. The other three are paying their fair share of tax. They have normal jobs. One's in a civil servant. Actually, one's gone to America. Me, 19-year-old's gone to America now for work.
Oh, good. Very good.
You know, so should I get more of a state pension then because of the amount of tax I've paid in and then the amount of tax my kids have paid in?
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for president.
I mean, we should be encouraging the family, Noel. At the moment, in the last 30 years, it's all about the destruction of the nuclear family. You said it yourself, if you're a single woman with kids, you'll get everything thrown at you and handed to you.
Yeah.
As soon as you take the partner in or take the father of them kids in, your family's on benefit.
But Jessica's argument is why should she be paying tax to benefit your kids?
But why should I pay tax then to bring animals over from another country? Why should I pay tax to boatload people in?
Sorry, Jessica. Go ahead, Jessica. You go.
No, just when Jason brought up the whole, like, bringing, like, testing over and all that, I didn't agree with that either. I thought that was...
Yeah, I know.
Jessica, Jason has an army of children.
Why should my money be paid for an investment?
It's a fucking joke.
Exactly. Well, but we don't get to dictate where our taxes go for. Why should I pay for taxes for something that I don't use?
That's one of the things we do need to dictate.
Well, there you go. Well, we don't all use what we pay our taxes for, but unfortunately, we're all part of this social contract that we keep getting told of, and we get no say in where our taxes go. I believe the bigger family you get, the more benefits you should get, because you're paying more taxes, your kids are going to pay more taxes, and then when it comes time for you to get your pension, your kids are paying taxes, there's your pension covered. Somebody that doesn't have kids should pay double tax. To cover their pension, to cover their medical expenses. So we don't get to dictate, Jessica. Unfortunately, we don't get to dictate.
Okay, well, let her respond. Go ahead, Jessica.
There are families who are probably having over 5, 6... There's probably some families in Dublin or in Ireland with 10-plus kids. I don't imagine that's a majority, because obviously...
Jason had 8 kids. Jason has 8.
Yeah, but Jason, I can tell that you and your partner love your kids. I can tell that from the way you're supposed to talk about them. You adore your kids, and I'm... delighted to hear that. But are you going to tell me that there are people out there that aren't having kids for the sake of it? Because they are looking at this and thinking, oh, we can make at least a minimum of an extra grand into our pocket. Are you going to tell me that that's not happening? Because you are going to tell me
I don't think it's as much as, you're right, Jason. Jessica, realistically, okay, say somebody has 14 kids, right? Or 10 kids, should I say, right? That's 1,400 quid just in child benefits. It's actually a bit more, actually, because you get extra money for the last kids. But so let's say it's 1,500 quid. That 1,500 quid, if you've got 10 kids, you'll spend that very quickly in a month.
Yeah, but if you can't afford 10 kids without state help, you shouldn't have had more than 10 kids. you need to cut your cloth to meet your measure nowadays. And if you're having kids...
But you are doing society a favour by having 10 kids. Because those 10 kids, hopefully, will grow up to be 10 taxpayers.
There's 4 of mine already, so half of mine already are paying tax. Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be taxpayers, all right, but there's, it's still stress on the household.
No, I know, I understand.
It's not just
Pension. But that funds your pension then, your state pension then when you become pensionable age, and when you end up relying on the state.
Are you joking me?
No, you'll have the state pension. You'll be entitled. No, you'll have the state pension.
You'll state pension, Jessica. Everyone gets a state pension.
Gets the state pension. Everybody gets the state. Once you've worked and paid taxes in, you get what's called the state pension.
And who's gonna pay for the nursing home you're in, Jessica, when you get older?
See, that's why we need kids. We need to encourage women to have more kids.
I told Kira that when I get to my old age, just send me off to sea. I'll be back.
So stay there for a second. Let me just, because I know Jason has to go. Thanks, Jason. Let me just go to Dave. Dave, hi. How are you?
Well, sorry, folks.
Nice to talk to you, Dave.
It's a crack. You're probably sick of people saying this, but you know, hard luck in the old elections. But fair fucks, you gave him a good run for it.
I did. Yeah. I nearly got in. Actually, I was in the top four right up to the 19 count, up to the last count. Yeah.
That big pot of money was just within your grasp.
Yeah, but it was decent. I'm not going to lie, as well as the fact that I really wanted to do it. It was a decent paying job.
We all knew you wanted to go for altruistic reasons, but let's be honest, who doesn't want someone fucking a heap of money at us as well?
Well, so, this is true.
You know, you're only human.
This is true.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, Dave, getting back to, I suppose, whether we should be capping, you know, children's allowance at 2 kids. Should we be?
Well, my question would be, what is the benefit? Well, what would be the benefit of it overall? I mean, like, the end result is
saving money.
You said, like, it was 2.1 billion, right? So I just looked up as a percentage, right?
Yeah.
Our GDP last year was 608 billion, right? That 2.1 billion as a percentage of our overall GDP was 0.3459437% of our overall GDP.
Yeah.
It's not even 1% of all the money we made in the country was spent on child benefit. And all you do then is, there are people who are already in poverty, you'd be driving them further into poverty. I mean, looking at England, and people are saying, I mean, there's already 250,000 children in Britain at the moment in poverty because of, like, that lack of money. It's something like $4,000 a year that they've taken out of everybody's houses. But they said by the end of
I think Rishi Sunak said yesterday it was $2,000 a year they would have to charge extra taxes.
I looked it up earlier on. It's about $4,500 per household, depending on how many kids you have. Right?
Yeah, okay.
He said by the end of the next parliament in England, you'll have almost 1 million children in poverty because that social safety net has been taken away. Like, there's no net benefit to this. And we're, like everybody said, we're already looking at, like, a problem here with, like, we're not having enough kids as it is. Do you know, it's like cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Mm.
So there's no benefit whatsoever. And I mean, I know people like to go on that, oh, it's people on social welfare, the cause of all our problems. We spend more money on illness and, I actually have it here in front of me, like, from the CSO, right? Our largest expenditure from social welfare is on sickness and healthcare, 25.3 billion. And then old age at 15.9 billion. And then it's actually 2.5 billion is actually spent on people without a job. Now, again, a percentage of our overall GDP, as a percentage, that's 0.469%. Do you know? So this idea that...
Yeah, no, but you are what you are... What you're comparing it with is our GDP, right? Which is inflated. We all know that we live in a bit of a false economy because all those multinational companies could walk out of the country tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Fueling their money. No, but what I'm trying to say is, I know, but even take that away, it's still not that much. Like, I think 9% of our GDP is spent on, you know, social protection. And that's not just...
It's just over 20 billion a year. Yeah, 20 billion a year.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you think about it, like, we're basically at zero unemployment. We're not going to get lower than this. You know what I mean? So it goes back to this idea of, oh, well, people on benefits are the cause of, you know, all the ills in your life, not fucking reckless spending by the state or overpaid civil servants or the fact that, like, anytime something is done, you know, like in this country, it's like, you know, the civil service, like, let's put up a new lamppost. How much is it going to cost? $3.5 million. But sure, who gives a shit? We're spending other people's money. You know, what we need to be doing is enticing people to have more children. We should be looking after working families who get up in the morning and have more kids. You know, childcare should be a lot cheaper. We should be more after school places. Like, a massive problem for working parents at the moment is when the kids get to summer holidays, there's no after school. Or there's nowhere that they can send the kids for today.
Yeah, we do rely on education to babysit our children as well while we're working.
Yeah, like only for the fact that I got really, really lucky in the last week or so finding a place that has an after school for my uncle for his free school year next year. I would have had to give up work again. And just
so what are you going to do during the summer when he's off school?
Well, no, he's in my youngest father's in creche at home.
Okay,
so
okay.
The creche closed for 2 weeks. So
yeah, but what about the other lad? How old is he?
He's 14.
Ah, he's grand. He'll look after himself, yeah.
He's at home power washing and stuff like that. So he's
set fine. Fire to the house and stuff, yeah. Okay, so...
he's not like me, thank fuck.
Anyway, so you don't agree with capping it. Jessica, I do understand the point you're making. It does, you do feel a bit hard done by, particularly when you're younger, you know, that I'm paying tax, I'm working my arse off every day for somebody else's kids. That doesn't make sense to you right now, but it will make sense as you get older and you have your own kids.
No, I get, and I know people saying, like, oh, you'll have kids and then they'll grow up to get jobs and they'll pay into the state and all that. I get that. I know that's the circle of life. But yeah.
It's a money go round.
The problem. Yeah, no, the money, yeah, it'll come back to me, I know that. But my main issue is, and I know there's no real way to look into it and gauge it, but like I said, I get very sceptical when I see large families because I think, do they genuinely love the kids or is it because they see it like a money-making thing? Like, oh, grand, we can try and get a nice bigger council house or more money in the pocket on the child benefits. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I see it. I just feel a little bit sceptical about it.
Okay. Well, hang on. Let me just bring Nuala in finally on this as well. Nuala, hi. How are you?
Not too bad, no. Good. I just listened to what I was saying. And, I live in an area now where I don't think there's any child under 10, you know, except for the kids that are going to the schools near here.
Yeah.
And even where I grew up, the whole street, I doubt if there's a small baby in the whole street where and the whole of the real centre of Galway City. Well, you know, which,
it's a fair observation because there is less babies than there was 20 years ago. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's awful sad. Like, you know, there's no kids out playing in the street.
Yeah.
No, like if they have play dates and all this kind of artificial type of stuff where, you know, I think and they're
so
making
how do we,
God
so
out
how do we encourage people
got out a career. Yeah. They're making a god out of job beans and career. Half the jobs, if they were gone in the morning, we would still be carrying on and be able to do whatever we have to do. And you see, the reason they had a lot of kids in the past is because you couldn't save hay. And most, up to the 50s, and a lot of people don't like to admit it, but most of their families were rural. And
a lot of the reason why we had more kids years ago was because women primarily stayed at home.
Well, no, you couldn't. If you had three or four cows to milk, you know, somebody had to do it. You had to save the hay. You had to do all the jobs. I know, because I lived out in Connemara, and if you didn't have people to do something, you couldn't. How would you live? And that's the way it was. It wasn't because, I mean, it's kind of looking on kids now as, I don't have any myself, but they're looking on them as some sort of a curse.
Yeah, somebody just put up on YouTube a comment saying, if we want to encourage more kids, have free drink Friday. That'd be...
And anyway, that's money that goes is usually spent in the society.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're paying a fella to manage the HSC, he'll probably have a house in Bordeaux, and he'll go off on his holidays there, and he won't spend
But it does come down. The major root problem here is, and it's not going to change. I don't even think money will change it. Is that we have changed, society has shifted culturally in Ireland, that women are now having their first child when they're 32 years of age, whereas they used to have the first child somewhere between 18 and 23, depending on how far back you want to go. And that's the biggest problem. So they only really have time to have one or two at the max children. So that's the problem in society. So how do we go back to be fair to women who want to have careers, but to encourage them to have children at a younger age? How do we get back there?
Well, you see, the thing is, most of these women are on the pill for maybe 20 years of their life. And it's free. You know,
well, that's because they have jobs and they just don't want to have a kid because it gets in the way of their career.
I've worked in jobs and 3 weeks after the person left, nobody had even remembered that they were, oh, yeah, remember Mary? She used to, yeah, she worked down there. You know, people are making this job like as if it was, you know, some God almighty that you've got to be remembered. You won't be remembered within 3 weeks in most jobs.
Here's an interesting thing that Dave will actually like this one, right? Here's an interesting point. In America, jet fighters, you know, in the American military, yeah. in the Air Force, they wear pressure suits. I'm sure you're aware of that, Dave. You know, these special pressure suits.
The G-forces, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a big push now to produce maternity pressure suits. Have you ever heard that like this? Like, because loads of obviously pregnant women want to fly jets. I don't know what. I mean, firstly, I'm assuming any doctor would recommend that a pregnant woman doesn't get into a jet at, you know, whatever G's it happens to be.
I couldn't imagine pushing 6, 7, 8, 9 G's or going supersonic in
a jet.
You're
6 months pregnant, like. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
But you're not even, I mean, most airlines won't even let a pregnant woman on in the third trimester. So, I mean...
Yeah, or, you know, baby kicks and you accidentally drop the payload.
That's how bonkers the world is and how against the idea of women getting pregnant we seem to be in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, we need to get back to encouraging women who want to have careers, to help them with their careers, but also encouraging women to have children earlier in life the way they used to. When Noola were younger.
Why
are we making a god out of careers? This all thinks of careers. A woman going around with a folder around the hospital, checking and everything, and she has gotten about 70 or 80,000 a year. The person that's actually wiping somebody's behind is on about 30,000 a year. You know, this whole career thing. And then, we have to have a pathway forward, a career forward. But they automatically get increments every year. I mean, if you're working on the line in any of the medical device companies, because you have a degree, you still get the same wages as the person beside you.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You don't have this career thing. So we must have about 300, over 500,000 at least, civil servants in this country. And about 10,000 walking around with folders. And that's the career.
Well, listen, on that note, I'm going to have to wrap it up. Just on an old point, somebody asked me, as just texted about that. The American Air Force is spending $540,000 to create 2,000 one-piece maternity flight suits that will begin rolling out in April. Their Navy counterparts took part in creating the uniform as well, which will debut its prototype. There you go.
Sure, I mean,
why not?
There's money for somebody in it, money for the inventor in it, isn't there?
I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't want to see pregnant women, you know, being deterred from doing anything in their careers, but, you know, I don't think flying a jet at, you know, 4 or 5 G's is probably the right thing to be doing if you're up the duff. Anyway, listen, thanks very much, Dave, and thank you very much indeed, Noola. All right, some of the WhatsApp messages that have been coming in, let me just play one or two of these here.
How you doing, guys? Good morning. Beautiful sunny day in Dublin. Very rare, but most enjoyable. One of the things that really gets my goat over this children's allowance thing, that if somebody leaves the country, the children's allowance follows them, as far as I know. And I think that's horrendous. And if you leave the country, the benefit stops, because the child is not living in the country, therefore the money being spent on it is no benefit to the country.
Niall, I have a pain in my backside with the way they're milking the system here. There's loads of them there going around the garages and all in their pyjamas. They don't even wear proper attire when they're going out of a daytime. They've about 6 kids drilled out of them, so they do. And I'm just absolutely fed up with it, I am. They are just milking the system and I've had enough. I don't know why I bother paying my taxes and working all the hours that God sends, just so that I can keep them in a council house and they can demand. It's just not right, Niall. Thanks very much and I love the show.
Thank you, Tara, for sending that message in. I agree with the pyjamas thing, by the way. Although I did see some guy, which is unusual to see the guys in the pyjamas, but he wasn't only in a pyjama, he was in like a robe going into a spa shop there recently. I want to, partly, another reason that I want to get into government, one of the next laws that I'm going to bring in, we must do a show actually on laws that you would bring in if you were the Taoiseach, right? So one of the next laws I would bring in, I would make it illegal to walk around during the day in your pyjamas. I would make it illegal to walk into any shop in your pyjamas. You're nothing but a lazy shit. Put some clothes on. Look at me in my pyjamas walking into the smart shop to get a sausage roll first thing in the morning. You lazy. Are they all these people who drive their kids to school in the morning and they're still in their pajamas in the car, just put on a blouse and a pair of jeans. Jesus Christ, it doesn't take a second. Anyway, Eva says the government need to reward single mothers who work full-time. Yep. This would encourage more to stay in full-time work. I work full-time, pay a mortgage, full-time crash fees, car loan, etc. But I'm over the limit for benefits as I earn just over 40,000. My salary is gone by week two to three and I get no child maintenance. They don't care if you have a mortgage. I can understand why so many single mothers refuse to work, get HAP and free childcare hours. For me, it doesn't make financial sense to work. You're right. And by the way, the cut-off point, I think, was at 34,000 or whatever it is. It's a nonsense. When they're means testing, it should be based on how much disposable income you have, not how much income you have. Anyway, some of the other comments that come in here. Dave says, so we penalise the unemployed. Don't really see why we would need that here, considering how long or how low our unemployment rate is. And for those who work and have kids, that's wrong with helping them out, considering they'll be the ones paying for our pensions as we get older. Morris also says it should be only for the native Irish. So I think that was Morris that was on earlier on. Morris, I would agree with you if it was people who weren't paying tax or who were bleeding for the state. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about everybody being equal who are paying tax and working here and are working here legally and are legally in the country. I have no issue with people who are legally in the country. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is, as usual, 085-122-255. Now, I have an important announcement to make, that from the end of the month, you're watching this live on Twitter and Facebook. You will still be able to watch it live. There will be a link there to send you to our website or to send you to Shoutcast. We have to do that for financial reasons, because we cannot continue to provide it for free, because it costs us money to do it. We don't make enough money out of the few subscriptions that we get and the odd donation we get every now and again. And we do really appreciate those who donated to us, by the way, or who do donate every now and again to us. Because remember, this costs money and there's three of us that work on it. So we can't continue to do it for free. Actually, more than now really is probably the most important time, because I haven't worked in 7 weeks or 8 weeks. So we're on beans and chips. So if you can help us financially, if you can support us by subscribing or donating, go to our website, nileboylan.com. But from the end of the month, we are changing. You will still be able to watch it. You will still be able to listen to it. It'll just be slightly different. There'll be a link rather than watching it live. Unfortunately, X, or Twitter as it's known, or the other way around, doesn't have a facility for us to monetize that in any shape or form. So we get, for you watching this now on X or on Facebook, we don't get a penny, not one single penny. If you watch it on Spotify later on, we get a small amount of money from the odd ad that goes out. It's not very much. But if more of you, if the amount of people that actually watch it live every day watched it on Spotify or on iTunes later on this evening, it would be worth our while, if you understand what I'm saying. Anyway, the point is, so we have to change the way we do it slightly. It's not going to inconvenience you too much. You just have to do it a slightly different way. All right, but it will help us greatly. So thank you for bearing with us. In the meantime, please try and support us. We really do need your support. We can't do it without you. It's a platform that we give you every day. Today could be about like a social issue. Tomorrow could be something that's in the news. The day after, it could be about the hate speech laws or the EU migration pact. Pardon me. So we do like to keep on top of everything. So please do support us and support the three of us that work hard in this. Even the price of a cup of coffee, that's not much to ask. Please go to our website, nileboylan.com. Just click the donate button or subscribe. I would really ask you to do that. You would do us a great favour. Thank you very much, Nate. I should talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.